Good morning. In case you want to know, I'm doing well. Thank you. I didn't find the Fountain of Youth, but I'm back. Also, following this service, we have a discussion and a decision to make regarding an addition to the budget, and that will be held in the back room. Let's stand for the call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon, and he makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews our flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Thank you.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Our Father and God, as we come to you this day, we thank you and praise you for your word. Your word reveals to us your holiness. Your word reveals to us what we must do so that we might be righteous before you. We thank you and praise you that it's not by works that we are saved, but we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. As your word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We praise you and thank you that Jesus Christ is the one who came, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might fulfill the law, that we, when we believe in him, are in him, and all the deeds that were against us were nailed to the cross when he died. We thank you and praise you for this, and that we look forward to being in your presence because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Our Father and God, we do praise you and thank you that we're free to come into your presence through the shed blood of your Son, and we thank you that we come in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you bid us come with our prayers and petitions and to make our requests known unto you. We ask that as we come, we would come with praise on our lips and thankfulness in our heart, for our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We praise you and thank you, Father, that we look forward to that time when we will stand before you and we ask that each one of us would receive a well done, thou good and faithful servant. enter into the joys of my kingdom. As we stay here upon earth, Father, we ask that we would serve you with gladness, that as we gather together, we would stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, that we would encourage one another as we see the day of the Lord approaching. We ask, Father, that we would remember that you are the one who orders all things after the counsel of your own will, and that we have the privilege of serving you, that we have the privilege of being the ambassadors of the King of Kings. We ask, Lord, as we face a new year, that we would trust you, that we would know that Jesus Christ is King of all the earth, and that all those in authority are in authority because you have established them, that you sustain them, that you are the one who are doing what you are doing for your glory and for the edification of the church and the edification of each individual Christian. We thank you and praise you that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and we thank you and praise you that we are being conformed to the image of your dear Son. We ask, Lord, that you would be with our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially those who are in a war-torn area. We ask that they would be ministers of your grace and mercy, that they would take the opportunity to point men and women to the Christ who died for all men, that they would point them to the Christ who is able to save to the uttermost. We ask, Lord, also for those who are being persecuted, those who are being deprived of food, shelter, even life. We ask that they would maintain their faithfulness and their integrity, and that they would look forward to standing before you, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and knowing also that as long as we remain in this flesh, we are absent from you, but to depart from this flesh, we are in your presence for eternity. We praise you and thank you for that hope, and we ask that each one of us would watch and pray for the soon return of our King. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, "Praise Ye the Triune God." Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke 2, beginning with verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now in the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Are you getting feedback on the audio? I'm getting something in my ear. Are you? Okay. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Father, as we meditate upon your word, we ask that you would captivate our hearts by the power of your love, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, and that we would learn to trust you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a Christmas carol that we don't have available that we haven't sung, and the title is, What Child Is This? That's a very interesting question. What child is this? As you look at culture, as you look at people who, quote, celebrate Christmas, unquote, a lot of people just think of the babe as, isn't he cute? Or, isn't this nice? Isn't this a nice story? The question that needs to be answered is, what child is this? What do you make of the child? What does the scripture say about the child? The wise men came and they worshiped, but they didn't say anything. The shepherds went and rejoiced, but we don't know anything that they said either. According to the scriptures, in order to verify something is true, there must be two or three witnesses. If there are not two or three witnesses, then what is done may or may not be true. There must be at least two or three witnesses. Now, we're familiar with the shepherds, Elizabeth, Zacharias, the shepherds, and the wise men, and we meditate on that. But this portion of the narrative is usually not meditated on. But here is where the two or three witnesses appear. The witness who verbalize what and who this child is. Now, I know the angels came, and they verified who the child was, but the angelic host is not human. Here we have humans who were waiting for the Messiah, who identify who this child is. At the time that Jesus came, Judaism was apostate. We need to understand that the Judaism of Jesus' time was nothing like it should have been. And we read in the Old Testament that unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom, we would have become made like Gomorrah. The Old Testament teaches us that there is a remnant, that God had put aside the nation of Israel and had preserved a very small remnant. And we know something of that remnant from the Gospels. There's only 120 Hebrews in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ descended and people recognized and saw him after his resurrection, there's only 500 in Galilee who saw him. There is a remnant. And Paul writes in Romans, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. So what we have here in this Luke 1 and Luke 2 passages, we have a sample of the remnant. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna. They are representatives of the remnant. And you will note that none of them are of the elite in the culture. None of them have weight in the culture. We also need to understand that the Holy Spirit has been active. It's the Holy Spirit who revealed to Zechariah that his son would be the forerunner. It's the Holy Spirit who caused the embryo of John to leap in Elizabeth's womb. It's the Holy Spirit who came upon Mary so that she would bear a son. It's the Holy Spirit who led Simeon to the temple at the right time. It's the Holy Spirit who revealed and opened the eyes of these folks to understand the nature of the truth. So let's look at these witnesses. Mary and Joseph are first. You may remember that both Mary and Joseph were told by an angel that the name of the child was to be Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was told, and in Luke 1, Mary was told that they should call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Yahweh, that is the covenant God, the God who revealed himself to the nation of Israel, the God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Yahweh saves. That's what the name means. Yahweh saves. So Mary and Joseph both understood something about the character of the child who was to come. And Mary and Joseph were called righteous. Joseph is called righteous in Matthew 1. And Mary technically is not called righteous, but she's called highly favored. And if one is highly favored by God, that would mean that they are righteous. What does righteous mean? It means what it always means, that that person is living by faith, that that person is not striving to work to become meritorious before God, but they understand that God has spoken and that they believe him and they trust him and they believe his promises. They are righteous. Mary and Joseph are obedient. Now we find in the scriptures that Jesus Christ was to fulfill the law. We also find in the scriptures that he was born of a woman born under the law, so that he must fulfill the law. He fulfills the law for you and for me. That's what he says in Matthew 5. He says, I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. And so what he needs to be done when he's 8 days old is to be circumcised and named. And his parents are faithful. Jesus cannot fulfill this directly. His parents must fulfill it for him. And his parents, in obedience to the law, take him to the temple, and he is named Jesus, and he is circumcised. What is circumcision? Well, if you read the Old Testament, it is required of all males who are born in Hebrews, and they're recognized that they are the males, and they are taken to be circumcised. And then there is a time of purification for the mother. After being circumcised, there's the time of purification of 33 days. And after 33 days, the mother is, and father presumably, go to the temple to offer up a sacrifice. That's the law. For a female, the mother is to have stay for 14 days. And then she is to have time of purification for 66 days. Why is she doubled? She's not circumcised. It's rather simple. Okay? The male has to be circumcised and time of purification is 33 days. Female's not circumcised and purification is 66 days. What is the purpose of all this? The purpose of all this is to teach that we who are created in an image and likeness of God and we have the privilege of participating in creation by producing the next generation, we can produce nothing but sinners. We cannot produce a perfect child. Every child born of a woman is a sinner. And so we have this process in the ritual law or the ceremonial law where God teaches that children, as soon as they be born, they come forth speaking lies. So Jesus is circumcised. He didn't need to be circumcised, for he was not a sinner. But he needed to be circumcised because he was born under the law. And then he needed to be taken to the temple. For he was born under the law and he had to be purified. And in that process, Mom and Dad offered up 2 turtle doves. Now, we know that this event preceded the coming of the Magi. For if they had the gifts of the Magi, they would have been able to afford a lamb. They didn't have enough to afford a lamb, so they offered up two turtle doves. Mom and Dad, Mary and Joseph, obeyed the law. And because they obeyed the law, Jesus Christ was obedient. He was circumcised and presented. You got to remember also that in the Old Testament, the firstborn male was to be offered to the Lord. And Jesus Christ was the firstborn male. And in 1 Samuel, you have a record of this when Hannah has Samuel. After she weaned Samuel, she took him and gave him to Eli. And her son Samuel served in the temple from the time that he was weaned until Eli passed. The firstborn belonged to the Lord. So we have Mary and Joseph, who are righteous and they are obedient. And Jesus Christ, born under the law, born of a woman, is circumcised and presented. And Simeon is the second witness, and he is the one who the Holy Spirit gave information that you would not die until you had seen the Lord's salvation. He is holy and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. So he too is righteous. He too is living by faith. He too is anticipating a fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. And when he comes, led by the Holy Spirit into the temple, he bears witness of the character of the child. Here is a human bearing witness about the person of the child. He is answering the question, what child is this? This is the answer. He is God's salvation prepared for all people. That's who this child is. God's salvation. Now, a good Hebrew who is a member of the remnant understood that God was the Savior. And you may recall when Mary sings her Magnificat, she acknowledges that she needs a Savior. The remnant out of Israel that was preserved understood that they were sinners in need of a Savior. And here, Simeon acknowledges that God's salvation prepared for all people. This would be in fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, when Genesis chapter 12, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then in Genesis 22, after the sacrifice or the provision of the lamb for Abraham instead of Isaac, the angel of the Lord says, by myself I have sworn. And he reiterates the Abrahamic covenant. And the angel of the Lord says that in your seed, the earth shall be blessed. And Paul tells us in Galatians that it's seed. It's not seeds, plural. It's seed, singular. And the seed that blesses the world is Christ. Simeon understands this. For he acknowledges that this babe that he is holding is the salvation prepared for all people. And because he's the salvation for all people, he is light to the Gentiles. Light to the Gentiles. You may recall that Israel had a privilege. Their privilege was that they had the oracles of God. We call that the Old Testament. Their another privilege was they had the priesthood, which looked forward to the coming of Christ. They had the sacrifices, which spoke of the work of Christ. They had the promise of the coming king through the line of David. They were privileged. And as a nation, they got it. We're privileged, and they were proud of it. They weren't humble. They were proud. But you see, the privilege of the nation Israel was ultimately for even the Gentiles. The truth is for all men. It's for all men. All men are sinners. As Paul says in Romans chapter 2, if you don't have the law, you still sin. If you have the law, you still sin. All men are sinners. We're all sinners. In Romans 3, we have a few verses that describe the human condition. We're all sinners. And here, Simeon understands that this child is the light for the Gentiles. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But in the very beginning of that chapter, he is the light that lightens every man. This child is also the glory of the people of Israel. This is the one all the prophets look forward to. This is the one that was looked forward to in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. This child was the seed of Abraham. He is the fulfillment of the covenant with David. He is the glory of the people of Israel. Joseph and Mary marveled when they heard all this. It's amazing. But Simeon goes on, and he prophesies concerning Mary. First of all, he says this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. This child is divisive. This child will be divisive. The scriptures tell us that Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He would divide families. Father against children. Children against parents. He would divide. He's divisive. He's divisive. He is one because of his fulfillment of the law, his perfect righteousness, and his person, the eternal Son of God. He is divisive. Very divisive. And Mary is going to have pain. She's going to have pain. A sword will pierce through your own soul. How is her soul pierced? Well, the first manifestation of the piercing of her soul is when Jesus is 12 years old and he's in the temple. This is also in Luke 2. And as Mary and Joseph had searched for Jesus, and they find him in the temple. And Jesus says, why did you search for me? I'm doing my Father's business. That's the first pierce. Here's a second pierce. In John chapter 2, Mary approaches Jesus and says they need wine, and Jesus addresses her as woman, not mother, woman, woman. Later on, as he's ministering, he's inside a house. And his mother and brothers come to the door and they bang on the door. And Jesus is told, your mother and brothers are outside. And Jesus says, my mother and brothers? See these people? My mother and brothers are those who do the will of God. You mothers would understand how that would pierce your soul if your son distanced himself like that. And that's what he did. He distanced himself. And there at the cross, she was at the cross and had to watch her firstborn be murdered and crucified. Mary's heart was pierced. I believe that her whole life was filled with sorrow and wonder. Wonder, first of all, about why did God choose me? Wonder at the nature of this child she bore. Wonder at how the relationship with him was different than with all her other children. And her heart was pierced in sorrow for all her, quote, motherly instincts were, as it were, squelched. They're squelched. And this son of hers separated himself from her. She was just another sinner in need of a Savior. Her heart was pierced. And then Simeon goes on and says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Christ revealed hearts. I've said this before. God judges the motive. God judges why you do what you do. I'm convinced that we all don't know why we do what we do. How about that word? Your spouse comes in and says something and you respond with short, angry, unthought words. Where'd that come from? Or how about your frustration with your children and your words come out? I once learned something that's difficult to practice. Be sure your brain is engaged before you put your mouth in gear. So often we put our mouth in gear before we think about what we're saying. And as a Christian, that is most important. It is most important because we are to speak so that others receive grace. And Mary here is an example of one who, because of her special place in the history of the Incarnation, she has wonders to behold and to meditate on. But she too is a sinner in need of the mercy and grace of God. And her soul and heart are pierced. And we and others, our hearts are exposed by by Christ. By Christ. I listen to others, and I listen to myself. And if my heart is as it should be, I praise God, I give Him thanks, and I meditate upon His word. But when I'm wandering away, I may grumble and complain, and I meditate on something else other than His word. So my heart is exposed. That is the witness of Simeon. The third witness is Anna. We don't know anything about Simeon before this event, and we don't know anything about Simeon after this event. But we are told something about Anna. We are told something about her. She was of great age, and she had been married for 7 years, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, that particular phrase can be taken two ways. She's either 84 years old, or she's a widow for 84 years. Either way you address it, she's an elderly lady. Okay? And what does she do? Well, she serves in the temple. Now, she's of the tribe of Asher. Isn't that one of the 10 tribes that got dispersed? And we think nobody knows what happens to those 10 tribes. Here is a woman who 700 years after that dispersal, who it said she is of the tribe of Asher. Not everybody lost their identity. She is a tribe of the tribe of Asher. And she serves in the temple. She hasn't left the temple. What does it say? Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There's a woman of faith. There's a woman who understands the promises of God. There's a woman who understands and comprehends the number one priority in life, to serve God. Whatsoever we do and say, we're to do all to the glory of God. And this wonderful woman who was married for 7 years, spends the rest of her life in service to God in the temple. Here she too comes, and she arrives at the proper time. Coming in that instant, okay, the instant when Simeon is done speaking, she shows up. Think that's of the Holy Spirit? Yep. Okay. And she comes and she gives thanks to the Lord. She gives thanks to the Lord. That's the first thing she does. She gives thanks. And then she bears witness. Notice what she bears witness about. She spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She spoke of this child as the Redeemer. She spoke of this child as the one who came to fulfill the law. And to whom did she speak? She spoke to the remnant. She spoke to those who were looking for redemption. So she spoke to the remnant. This is a little bit more narrow than the shepherds. Remember the shepherds? When they after they seen the babe in the manger, they went and told everybody about what they saw. They were indiscriminate. They just talked. They were so enthusiastic. Here were smelly shepherds running through Bethlehem, speaking of some wondrous deal. But Anna, she gave thanks, and then she spoke to those who were looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. What child is this? What does this have to speak to us about? When you speak of the Christ child, do you speak of him as the one who came to fulfill the law? Do you speak of him as the one who came to be the Savior? Do you speak of him as the one who fulfilled all those Old Testament prophecies? How do you speak of him? What child is this? What do you say about him? How do you address the nativity? What do you say of Christ? Let's pray. Our Father and God, we do praise you and thank you for this that you have revealed to us. We thank you for these faithful people, people who endured patiently the expectation of the coming of the Christ child. We know, Lord, that we ourselves are patiently waiting for the coming King. This child that was born of a woman born under the law is now seated at your hand, interceding for us, and that one day he will come, and he will come as King, King of all the earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We ask, Lord, that we would be your faithful ambassadors, that we would be those who would understand and speak of this one who came, born of the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to do what we cannot do. And we praise you and thank you that because he was faithful, we are now in him, and we are now seated in the heavenlies. We thank you and praise you, Father, for the expectation of his soon return. But in the meantime, Father, we ask that we would truly be salt and light in the earth, that we would be those who would speak of Jesus Christ, directing men and women to him. We thank you and praise you, Father, for the indwelling Spirit who enables us to call you Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, He Keeps Me Singing. We thank you and praise you, Father, that we have gathered together this day. We ask, Father, as we depart, that we would depart, knowing that we are your ambassadors, knowing that we are the sheep of your pasture, knowing that we are those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who enables us to call you Father. We ask, Lord, that as we depart, we would understand that our first priority in life is to bear witness of your mercy and grace, that we are your ambassadors, that we are your people, the sheep that you tend, the sheep that you protect, the sheep that you defend. We thank you and praise you for your many mercies that are new every day. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.